So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 28 and we'll read verse 11 until the end of the chapter. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we arrived to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, we called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear you, to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." If you have an author's version, then you have a verse 29. So I'll read verse 29 as it appears here in my footnotes in the ESV. "And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, having much dispute among themselves." Verse 30. "He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." And there, Dr. Luke laid down his pen, having completed his 2-volume narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, as he says at the start of Luke's Gospel. The 2 volumes being the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And I'm sure you'd agree that there seems to be quite an abrupt ending here in the book of Acts, at the end of chapter 28. And it is because we have a very abrupt ending like this at the end of chapter 28 that many people think that Luke, when he wrote the book of Acts, he wrote it just after the events of chapter 28. And we know from the Colossians, which we're studying at the moment, on a Wednesday night at Fernley, and Paul wrote Colossians from his imprisonment in Rome. He spent 2 years in Rome, and we read at the end of this chapter, and we know from Colossians that Luke was with him in prison in Rome, or in Rome at some point at least. So Luke was writing, he was probably writing this book while in Rome with Paul here in as we read of in chapter 28. Before we have a look at this passage before us, let me very briefly, as a background, just tell you a little bit about what happened after this, as far as we can tell. I'm sure, like me, and I've often wondered when I read the book of Acts when I was younger, you know, what happened after the book of Acts to Paul? The book ends with Paul being in prison, and the year is probably year 60, about 30 years since the book of Acts began. We began our studies 15 months ago. I was checking that up. October 19, before lockdown, we started our studies in the book of Acts. But it probably started around year 30, the events recorded. And here we are, year 60, and Paul's in prison. He spent 2 years in prison. And, you know, extra biblical sources would, and also hints that we have in the New Testament, would suggest that Paul was released after 2 years of imprisonment in Rome. And he continued his ministry of the gospel. And he probably went as far west as Spain with the gospel. We know that that was his intention, if we read Romans 15. And then Paul was imprisoned again, probably around year 67. A more brutal imprisonment, and that's where he wrote 2 Timothy from, in his second imprisonment. And after that, Paul was martyred, year 67, perhaps about 7 years after the events we recorded for us in Acts 28. So, just a little bit as a background, but back to Acts 28, and we're going to have a look at these verses together tonight, and we're going to look at three things tonight. We're going to first look at the saints in Rome welcoming Paul. So that's verses 11 to 16. We're then going to think of the Jews in Rome debating with Paul. And that's the next section, takes us up to verse 28 or 29. And then finally, we have the kingdom of God proclaimed in Rome. And that's the last couple of verses of this book. So here in chapter 28, Paul finally arrives in Rome. It's about 30 years since this great movement that turned the world upside down started in Jerusalem. And if you've been with us on a Sunday night, or as we've discussed, been through the book of Acts, you will have remembered that it has been Paul's intention for some time to come to Rome. Back in chapter 19, it says of Paul, and that's about 5 or 6 years before the events of chapter 28, it says of Paul that he resolved in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. I must also see Rome. So it's been Paul's intention, a very deliberate intention in the Spirit, guided by God, to go to Rome. And there's one thing that we notice, and I'm sure you have noticed as we have gone through the book of Acts, and that is that places are very important in the book of Acts. Places. And particularly two places are very significant in the book of Acts, namely Jerusalem and Rome. And as you will have remembered, Rome was very much the centre of focus at the beginning of the book of Acts. It was there that the disciples, the apostles, were gathered together. It was there that the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it was in Jerusalem that the gospel was being preached. But as we've moved through the book of Acts, it's the sort of centre of gravity, if you like, has been shifting away from Jerusalem and towards Rome. Now, Jerusalem and Rome had geographical and political significance, but the shift from Jerusalem to Rome in the book of Acts has huge symbolic significance, and we'll come to that later on tonight. The symbolic significance of the focus shifting from Jerusalem to Rome. More of that later. But here we are, and it starts in verse 11, after 3 months we set sail in a ship. So if you were here last week, you will have remembered that Paul had been shipwrecked in Malta. Now, Malta is an island in the Mediterranean, just south of Sicily, not far at all from Sicily. And there Paul and 276 men had been shipwrecked, but they all survived. Every one of them survived. And so they spent 3 winter months in Malta. And as the weather improved and there was an opportunity for them to sail on another ship, they did. So they set off on a ship from Alexandria, and they first go to Syracuse, which is in Sicily. I always think of Italy as a foot and Sicily as a ball, and, you know, it's a ball that a foot that kicks a ball. So we are on the east corner of Sicily. That's where Syracuse is, and that's where they land or where they harbour. And they spend 7 days there, and then they continue the journey up along the western coast of Italy, and they come to a place called Puteoli, which today is called Pozzuoli, and it is about 130 miles just south of Rome on the west coast, towards the south of Italy. And for those of you who know missionaries, or are interested in missionaries, you will potentially be familiar with the Catchpoles. They are missionaries today in this place called Puteoli. And Rod and Debbie Jones, they're missionaries in Bacoli, which is a neighbouring town, just outside Naples. So there Paul arrives, and it says at the end of verse 14, and so we came to Rome. Finally, Paul was in Rome. And in verses 14 and 15, it seems that Paul met groups of Christians, groups of believers on three separate occasions. It says that when they came to Puteoli, we found brothers and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And then, in verse 15, when the brothers there, the brothers in Rome, heard about us, they came as far as Forum of Appius and Three Taverns. Now, Forum of Appius and Three Taverns, they are sort of between Puteoli and Rome. Okay, and Forum of Appius is about 40 miles, and Three Taverns are further, 12 miles. And in both these places, Forum of Appius and Three Taverns, groups of believers, Christians, came from Rome. Some came 40 miles, and as always, there are some Christians who go further, and there was a group who went another 12 miles, and they went all the way to Three Taverns. And on each occasion, Paul met with these believers. And then we read this very interesting phrase at the end of verse 15, and I just want to focus on that for a minute. It says, on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. On seeing them, on seeing these Christians, believers in Puteoli, the believers of Rome coming down to Forum of Appius and Three Taverns, meeting Paul, and it says, on seeing them, he took great courage. He thanked God and took courage. I don't know about you, but when you think about the Apostle Paul, we have a picture of a man of tremendous courage and faith. And a man who instilled courage and faith in other people. And as we think about just this treacherous journey that they've just made from all the way from Jerusalem or the coastline there and all the way through, and they finally arrived in Rome. It was a treacherous journey, and it seems like Paul sort of single-handedly instilled courage in the crew and in the prisoners that were with him. And you may remember that in the midst of the storm that they were enduring, it says of Paul that he stood up and he told the people, so take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. So Paul was a man of great faith, a man of great courage, a man who instilled courage and faith in other people. But even so, we can only imagine what must have been going through Paul's mind as he was travelling up, edging closer and closer to Rome, closer and closer to meeting the emperor, Nero. Was he nervous? Was Paul frightened? I think he was. What encouragement, therefore, to find fellow believers in those places, people of God who welcomed him and strengthened him. Oh, it must have been a good courage for Paul to know that Christianity had spread into Italy, not just to Rome. There were obviously believers in Puteoli, which was 130 miles south in Naples. Christians there were Christians in Rome. That in itself must have encouraged Paul. But for them to go out of their way, I suppose you could say, to meet Paul and to encourage him meant an awful lot for Paul. And Paul thanked God and took courage. And I think there's just a very simple lesson for us here tonight. And that is, we all need encouragement from time to time, all the time. You know, whether we are strong believers or or maybe we are weak believers, or we see ourselves as being weak, we all need encouragement. And we can all be encouragers. We can encourage other people. And we must never think, hey, I don't need encouragement from anyone. I can do this myself. Or B, we must never think, I can't, who am I to phone her up or phone him up? You know, who am I to encourage somebody else? We can be that person who encourages and strengthens. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says to them in verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. There are times in our lives when we are faint-hearted, regardless of how strong we might be, when we are weak. And so we are to encourage the faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. What tremendous help and boost it would have been for Paul to have seen those believers, those groups of Christians as he approached Rome that day. And so Paul comes to Rome, and as he had done on so many occasions when he came to a place, he summoned the Jewish leaders and he explained to them why he was there. And it seems that Paul is seeking to put their mind at ease. It says in verse 19 this, when Paul met them, I have no charge to bring against my nation. He says, because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. Paul was not there to settle a score with the Jews, with the Jewish leaders. Now, Paul had every reason to be bitter. Paul had every reason to bring a charge against his fellow Jew, because the Jews had tried to murder Paul when he wasn't in Jerusalem, and they failed. Then they tried to get the Roman authorities to execute Paul, and they failed. And so Paul had every reason to be bitter and to bear a grudge against these people. But Paul had a desire to reach them for the gospel. It says, Paul says himself in Romans chapter 10 verse 1 about his fellow Jews, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So Paul had a heart for the Jews, and he was not there to settle score with them, and therefore he says, I haven't come here to bring a charge against you. And I think that's important. He just wanted to settle their nerves, if you like. You may remember that back in the book of Acts, in chapter 18, when we came across Aquila and Priscilla, that we read that they had to escape Rome because Claudius, the emperor, had commanded for all Jews to leave Rome. And that was in year 49, so about 11 years before this. And the reason for that, we learn from extra-biblical sources, not unbiblical, but extra-biblical, was that there had been some kind of unrest in the Jewish synagogue in Rome because of the Christian message. And because of that uproar, then Claudius, he had commanded all Jews to leave Rome. And perhaps the Jews that were now in Rome, again, 11 years later, were perhaps worried that Paul had come there to cause an uproar amongst them. And so Paul tells them, look, I have not come here to bring a charge against you. And that would have settled them. And then they listened to Paul and they agreed to meet again on an appointed day. And so we come to verse 23, and the appointed day arrived, and having had a favourable response up to that point from them, and having set their minds at rest on this second appointment, Paul had one thing in mind, and that was to declare the gospel to these Jewish people. And it says of Paul that from morning till evening, in verse 23, from morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophet. And so Paul was engaged in a debate, and he was trying to convince these people about Jesus from the Old Testament, from the prophets, from the law of Moses, that Jesus was the Christ, that the Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament had been speaking about, the one that God had sent into the world to be the Saviour of the world, the Saviour of mankind. Now, there was a mixed response to this. It says in verse 24, some were convinced, but others disbelieved. And there was a disagreement amongst them. And then Paul quoted from Isaiah chapter 6. It's the second time we come across this quotation. The Lord Jesus used this quotation as well. And there, when Isaiah was commissioned by God to go to the people of God to speak to them, God said this to Isaiah. Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. And so on. And as the Jews heard this, we read that they departed after Paul had made this one statement. And this was the last warning that we read of to the nation of Israel. Time and again, through the book of Acts, you may remember that whenever the gospel was preached, Paul first went to the synagogue. He spoke about the Messiah. When the Jews rejected, he went to the Gentiles. And the Jews were warned. Time and again, we come across this. And this is the last time that this warning is given to the Jews. And you may remember that at the start of our meeting tonight, I mentioned that Jerusalem and Rome have a symbolic significance in the book of Acts. How the center of focus goes from Jerusalem to Rome as we move through the book of Acts. And the symbolic significance of that is this, that God shifted his focus away from the Jews to the Gentiles. And so the gospel was now, Israel had, if you like, to use a commercial term, had first right of refusal to the gospel. They had been invited to the wedding feast, but they refused to accept the invitation. And so God was turning to the Gentiles and rejected Israel, not a final rejection. We believe that God will deal with Israel. I believe God will one day deal with Israel again as a nation. As far as God was concerned, Israel had rejected the gospel message. They had rejected the Messiah. And now God was rejecting them and he was turning to the Gentiles. Now there's a stark warning here for every one of us. Every one of us here tonight. Whether Jew or Gentile, I'm not sure if there's any Jew here tonight. Mostly Gentiles for sure. But the warning is this. It is possible to hear, and not understand, to see but not to perceive. Hearing is one thing, but it's not everything. Notice what it says in verse 27, at the end of verse 27, he speaks about, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn. So when it comes to the gospel message, it's not about hearing, it's about understanding it with your heart and to do something about it and turn. We need to understand with our heart and turn. And the Bible uses another word as well for that, and it is to repent. But if we shut our ears and close our eyes and barricade our minds and suppress our conscience, we will never experience the healing power of the gospel. And the tragedy is this, that if you harden yourself after hearing the gospel time and again, but only becoming dull in your hearing, and it makes less and less of an impact on you, that there comes a time when God will not deal with you anymore, like he did to Israel. And there's a stark warning there. So the question is, have you not only heard the message? It's great to hear the message. It's a privilege to hear the message of the gospel. But have you understood and received it in your heart? And have you turned to God in repentance and in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, you will experience the healing power of the gospel. Understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them, says God. And so we come to the end of this chapter. And our final section tonight, which is verse 30 to 31. And I call it the kingdom of God proclaimed in Rome. And as we come to the end of this chapter and the very end of the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is an amazing account of the advancement of the gospel, the spread of Christianity. But it finishes with the main proponent of the gospel, the main preacher of the gospel, in prison. And we might think, well, that's not a happy ending. We know we all like happy endings, don't we? That's not a great happy ending, is it? But when you read the end of this chapter and you read of Paul being in prison, it's not a sad ending by any account, is it? It says in the very last words of this book is this, that Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and was teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. With all boldness and without hindrance. The Lord Jesus had said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, will not succeed. And throughout the book of Acts, and throughout Christianity ever since, Satan, the gates of hell, have done their utmost to to destroy Christianity, but I've never succeeded. And today, the gospel is advancing. And we may not see it much, perhaps, where we are here in Aberdeen or in wherever we are just now. There are people further afield as well. Perhaps you are. But as we look globally, the church of God is, Jesus is building his church. And the Jews and the powers of Rome could not stop Paul. He welcomed all who came to him while he was in prison. And he shared the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, one of the books that I've got on the Book of Acts is a book by the late David Gooding, Professor Gooding. And David Gooding says this in his book, and just at the very end, at the point where Luke laid down his pen, Paul, though in chains, and the gospel were irrepressibly surging ahead without let up or hindrance, in spite of human opposition and nature's storms. And that has been the case ever since. Yes, there have been dark moments in the history of the church, but God has continued to build his church. So it finishes on a high, but as we finish this book of Acts, it's good to just to step back and look at the big picture and think, well, what is the main point of, what is the key theme that comes through this book? And I would suggest to you that the key theme in the book of Acts is being witnesses. Being witnesses. You remember at the very start, in chapter 1, verse 8, that Jesus said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And it's great to think of that historically and how it has happened and how it happened in the book of Acts. But it is so important that we also remember that if you're a Christian here tonight, that you are a witness. I am a witness. And we are part of this amazing work that God is doing. And God is not finished yet. God is still building his church. And we are to be part of that. And so as we come to the end of this book, it would be great if it could be said of us that we were witnesses. We witnessed about Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. Oh, sure, we could find excuses for not doing anything. Paul could have said, well, what can I do? I'm chained to a soldier. I'm in prison in Rome. There's no point of doing anything here, is there? Or we could say there's a big lockdown and I can't do anything. Or people are not going to hear and listen. But we are to be witnesses where we are. Or perhaps God is calling you to go further afield with the gospel, to share the gospel with people who have never been reached. So let us embrace the charge that was given to the apostles and to the church, to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about the hymn "Facing a Task Unfinished." And I'm just going to read a couple of these verses from that song, and then I'll close in prayer. "Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known." One more verse. we bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. Very challenging words. And let us take those words and the word of God to heart tonight. And let's pray together. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the healing power of the gospel. We thank you that the gospel has reached us where we are, and you've spoken to us, and you've made us see and hear and understand who the Lord really is, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who died on the cross for sin, to be the Saviour of the world. And Father, we thank you for this, and we pray that this message might go forward tonight and in our time with boldness and unhindered. And we pray that we might be involved in this work. Help us to be bold. Help us to, even under difficult circumstances, to share the gospel, to be witnesses. And if there's anyone on the call tonight who's perhaps not a Christian, who's never heard, never believed before, never repented, we pray that tonight they will understand in their heart and turn to you for salvation in faith, that they might be forgiven. So, Father, we do pray for this. We thank you for this time that we've had. We thank you for your word. Thank you for Lord Jesus in his precious name. Amen.